still affordable.
She did that last time, too.
I found that sitting on the copier.
I know.
5:30, I'd like to call this meeting to order and acknowledge that we do have a quorum. We'll start with the approval of the minutes from the July 5th, 2018 regular meeting. Any comments or? Unless there's any comments, look for a motion to accept them as is.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, we'll get into the plats.
The first agenda item is a plat from Scott and Rena Hyman's from, this is 709 and 715 12th Street. This is Lot 1 revised. Two small homes are on the property. They're just basically consolidating those two lots into one for the purpose of constructing a new office, or office commercial building with four proposed suites. It is currently zoned as highway service and located in the 100-year flood zone. City staff has reviewed the request and feel that replatting the property to accommodate a new office building would be the best use of this property. It better fits the highway service zone and size, and it'll meet the setbacks. Since it's in the 100-year floodplain, the applicant, when they are ready to build, they'll need to get a floodplain development permit and abide by all the FEMA building specifications. So, and I've got a copy, it's included in your report, and I've got a couple of bigger printouts as well. And Shannon is here to represent the request.
Yeah, and the property is located in the flood zone is located in as a depth one, so it's not like an AE or anything like that, which so pretty easy to control. Finished floor, base flood height based on finished floor, so.
You have to just elevate it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of the.
And then we'll get a no-rise certificate or all that stuff after.
This one is being used as her office currently right now?
The other one.
This one is empty.
It is empty.
The people moved out.
Some time ago, or?
Within the last couple of months.
Oh, okay.
Could we persuade her to buy everything across the street for about 2 blocks?
If it was for sale.
This will not be approved unless you complete a major redevelopment.
These two structures.
Hell of a deal.
These two structures on these properties right now are both double-wide mobile homes.
I think this is a great deal.
I do too.
I think Rena's a great person. I don't see any reason. That's kind of development I like to see.
Yeah, it's according to the building plan I saw, it's gonna be a really nice building, parking lot.
People interested in being tenants?
No. I haven't heard.
She has one.
She has one?
Yeah, she has one I know of.
Good.
Besides herself.
Right.
Is there any concern that if we do this and we end up with two homes on here, does that cause a problem moving forward, or?
Well, the homes would be torn down.
The homes would be gone.
Yeah, the homes.
They're clearing both of those out of there, and then the compass of the projected plan I saw was an L-shaped building.
Okay.
With parking lot.
Yeah, parking lot. Well, the L kind of, which way is it going to fit into that? The way that L is there?
The L is going to be along the alleyway, and then north and south will be along the coffee shop there.
Yep. Okay, so like
so
this.
12th okay. Street and William Street will be open.
Nice. Will she have curb access off of Williams as well then on that north side? Is she going to cut curb?
There won't be any access off there. It'll be off of 12th Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then most parking for the will be in the alley side for employees and things like that. So.
That'll work good. That William Street gets to be a bit of a racetrack once in a while. But.
Any other questions or comments?
I'd move to approve.
I'll second
it. All right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Is that fast enough, Dave?
No, you had too many questions.
Okay, all right.
Wow. But I guess.
We're tough today.
Pretend to do our civic duty here. Come on.
Agenda item number two is Amy Richards of 2634 Moose Drive area. This is a plat application of Lot 23 in Vista Estate subdivision. It's going to consolidate lots 19R, 20R, 21A, and 21B into one lot. They are going to be building a single-family residence on the property, single floor. The lots are currently zoned as medium-density residential. The majority of the property is in the 100-year floodplain, and a portion of the floodway exists on the property. The preliminary site plan that's been included in your report shows approximately where the store or the home's going to be in relation to the floodplain. Any construction with a special flood hazard area is required to meet FEMA building requirements, such as meeting building elevation requirements. Aside from the floodway, there is a designated no-build debris basin that's established by the Corps of Engineers. That just basically means there's no disturbance in that area, no. Well, Shannon, Preikman, you probably know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this particular area, I mean, usually when we see floodplains, can tends to be a concern, but where the top back of curb height is in this particular area is anywhere from 4 to 5 feet higher than the base flood elevation. So,
so they're going to be out that anyway. Day,
yeah, that's that high.
So the curb is, but then it drops off, you know, relatively quick.
But they have brought a bunch of fill in too.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah, they started.
Yeah, I would think, aren't they?
So again, in this one, height wise, can be
quite a ways.
It won't look out of the ordinary, and it's still conformed.
Yeah,
you know, since everything. So.
Yeah, and city staff reviewed it, and as long as they've meet all the requirements for floodplain development and meeting those requirements that Shannon just spoke about, we would recommend approval of the plat.
What are they going to be able to do in the back of the house, much of anything?
Mow it.
Clean.
Yep. Yeah, that no build area really eliminates everything. I mean, really, you can't.
The bicycle master plan actually includes having a bike path right along there. To go
along
that whole
floodway,
yeah, just because that's about
debris.
All you can do
for
that way it'll get to the Markov property where eventually, you know, there'll be a large park that'll be there, and then hopefully kind of actually go up, connect to the Dolan Creek Estates too. Mm-hmm.
If that's on the master plan, do you need to require an easement at this point in time, or
actually we should, but I don't know. It hasn't been designed enough yet to know exactly kind of where in that area. I mean, that was something that Liz has been working on for just a couple of months, but yeah. Yeah, that's probably a good comment to make. We don't want to actually put it in there at this point because we don't know where it's going to be, but it should be an 8-foot wide. Is this going to be a bike trail or a path?
Generally speaking, if you're replatting and we have that as a master plan, that's something that.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be looked at. Sure.
Yeah. And now's the time to do it.
Are they looking at getting going on this pretty soon?
Building wise, but.
Yeah. ASAP.
Yeah, I think September. So. It wasn't going to be good. Building.
This side lot, do they plan on subdividing that to build another over here?
Oh,
put another house on it, because that's a huge 120 feet.
I think what might come down the pipe in the future here is I think Randy Carlson owns lot 18, and he currently, he just has a small garage. I think what he might do is buy a portion of that in the future just to give him some more space and there's possibilities of building.
He's the existing house right here.
Right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With that little garage.
Yeah, he's got a tiny little garage.
Or shed or whatever that is there.
Yeah. Man, that's just a lot of area. Tonight.
But like Amy said, she said nothing's been, she wanted to get her stuff all done and see if it was something that she wanted to.
Do you think that if we made a recommendation to approve this with an agreement to enter into a sidewalk easement at some point or a covenant that would require that? Would she have any issues with that that you know of?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I don't think she even knows about it.
No, we haven't started to talk with the property owners there yet. And I mean, that would be something that the city would pay for, not the, you know, it wouldn't be an assessment to the property owners. But you're right, we need the land so we can do that.
Right.
And just an agreement or a covenant or something that sits on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an acknowledgement that we won't have to try to buy land from her.
That makes sense. A lot of sense. Well, I would move to approve that with that stipulation, I guess.
Can you state that stipulation again, please?
Well, yeah. You're making me do this.
For the record.
I don't know. How would you want to work?
8 foot wide easement?
Look, it should be more than 8 feet because it's a 8 foot trail, so.
18 foot wide?
Usually we do 10.
10 would be
10, so that gives you 8 foot and a foot on each side. So 10. And then you still got to go back in for construction easements, generally speaking. But 10 permanent is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
I just say enter into an agreement to allow an easement to be recorded at some point in the future.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Did we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nope.
All right. Plat is approved. Right. Stipulation.
You got to speed this up. Let's take it.
The third agenda item is...
Rhea, they're going to be on council, and we're going to have those fast meetings now, not like last night.
Right?
Ooh. Agenda item number three is from Robin Zabrowski.
Zabrowski.
I can always say it wrong.
Robin and Melvin.
1611 Ballpark Road. This is a plat application of lot AC2 and AC2B in Roadbank Second Edition. This is currently described as lot AC2 in Roadbanks. It's currently zoned as medium density residential. Lot AC2B will be approximately 13,390 square feet with a 180.5 foot frontage to Ballpark Road. This portion of the property is undeveloped. AC2A has the house and garage, and it will be about 28,300 square feet with a 233-foot frontage to Ballpark Road. City staff recommendations, we have reviewed it, and the proposed lots will meet the size and frontage requirements for its zoning district. Existing structures on proposed lot AC2A are within the 500-year floodplain but are not negatively affected by any of those FEMA regulations. AC2B is not affected by the nearby floodplain and is a suitable lot for potential development. And Shannon is also here for that one.
Yeah, basically they basically covered everything. The house, we set the setback on that, we put it at 10, the setbacks were 5, so.
That is 10. Then, so.
We fit it towards the lot more and give it all the room there for future maintenance or anything, so.
I don't generally disagree with the statement, but there's probably some people at FEMA that might not say that they're negatively affecting that lot.
I'll be careful next time. It's unaffected by regulations.
The current negatively on the federal government is seriously in question.
They plan on selling that for like a single family house?
No, they plan on keeping that for now. Yeah.
They just want to plot it off as a separate lot for
for future. Yeah. What's that?
I think they store a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah.
So they don't really have any plans. They just want it.
Well, they did. I mean, the other day when I met with them, she mentioned something about building something on it. So. But at first it was, we'd like to keep that area because we use it so much, you know, and it really doesn't benefit the house the way it is. But
when they talked to me about it on the 4th of July, 3rd of July, they mentioned it and they were talking about this. And I said, well, you realize that once you remove that, you won't be able to use it for storage of trailers and campers and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, did not know that. And I said, so you need to come up with a plan to build something on it.
Yeah.
Or sell it,
yeah.
So somebody can build on it,
yeah.
Within in the future.
They can't build a garage, can they?
Not a separate garage.
No,
separate.
No,
it has to be a single family residence, or they can build a duplex there, I think.
Yeah.
So,
But you can't just put a garage on it?
Can't just put a garage on it. You can't just store stuff on it. He understands that.
Okay.
And I told him that we would probably at least give him a year to come up with an idea at very, very minimum.
Yeah. Is this contiguous to their house?
No, lot 8D is owned by that big alfalfa field at Burningham. And then it joined. Then they're next.
I know they're trying to purchase some of Burnham's property there to join them together.
Yeah.
But they have been unsuccessful because of the price.
Is it in this the area there's that access? Is that a shared access or is that access to the next lot or is there any access control
on this? Probably.
This line is off, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's off.
That access is for this property.
Okay.
That double access is like, for lack of a better word, like a circular driveway.
Where the house is at, yeah.
Well, it looks like they're meeting all the zoning code and criteria for planning.
As long as they know that there's repercussions from it. I mean, yeah, we can give them a year or something. I don't think we have to be hard about it, but at some point
they've been notified.
Yeah. They would need to come into compliance.
Yep.
I'll move to approve.
We've got a motion to approve. We have a second.
What is the zoning there?
That's
medium density residential.
So you need 50-foot frontage, right? On medium density?
Mm-hmm. It's got 180.
And, yeah. And 6,000 square foot?
Yeah, right? They're plenty big.
Yeah.
13,000 square feet.
Yeah, this could even be
could
split
be
in half.
Two lots.
Yep. Could be two.
Be an odd house, but mm-hmm. You can do it.
A tiny house.
Yeah, that's right.
A long.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Doesn't that seem like an odd zone for ballpark room? Like I understand that ballpark is mixed, but all those municipal properties and then like Meade County title and Jarvis's farm is kind of like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that area though, when at some point the field would be developed as homes, most likely, you know, that might be 10 years from now, but at some point
yes,
there would be some housing in there. And then the fairgrounds, when that gets relocated, I mean, that likely is going to be a lot of housing, if not, mm-hmm. you know, all the school wants 5 acres or seven, something like that.
In that way, that's an ideal spot yeah. for housing. It just seems like that right along ballpark would be a great, like, corner store, or, you know.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point.
Any opposed? All right.
Okay.
Motion carries.
Is there just any particular reason all that land back there hasn't been? Is it just a price or landowners just going to sit on that for a while?
It's in the county yet.
Is it? Okay.
And
is a good chunk of it floodplain too?
Yeah, a lot of it is.
A lot of it in floodplain. It's currently being used. Zabrowskis are leasing it to run their horses on.
Right.
It. And they would like to purchase it, but like I said, the price point is way too high.
I'm sure. Okay. Damn realtors.
That's true.
What?
Damn realtors anyway.
Okay, we're talking about Shannon.
Moving on to
sellers. Okay. I think the property's worth too much.
There you go.
Well, that doesn't happen in Sturgis.
No.
They're always reasonable here.
Especially this time of year.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They see a 10 go up and all of a sudden 20% higher. And then Rhea comes around, they're like, no, take a zero off. That's all it's worth.
It's not worth that much.
A trying. Buck a square foot at most.
Agenda item number 4. This is the final plat review for Wildflower Town Homes. Basically the same thing as last time. We had discussed the 5-year tax abatement and whether or not that had been affected if the 4 lots are privately owned. And we also discussed the PUD agreement. The copy of the plats in your report and a larger copy is on the table as well. City staff recommends approval. A note has been added to the final plat acknowledging the PUD agreement, or the second amendment to the PUD agreement. So,
Is that approved, the second amendment?
Did we make a... I have it in the minutes. Mark made the motion, I remember that.
So it was recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission, but it hasn't gone to the council yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
We haven't received the final sign.
Okay.
And she does have it, I'll probably have to...
No, no, that's fine.
Let her know that she needs to send it back.
Okay.
So...
So do we, at a minimum, then this would need to be approved with stipulation that the agreement be signed?
Sure, yeah. Or make a formal...
Do we even have to do that?
No, I mean, I don't think it, the plat wouldn't go to the council without...
Okay.
Well, it might be on the same council meeting, but the amendment would have to go first.
Was there anything anybody wanted to discuss about it?
I feel like we've done a lot of discussing about this.
Oh, you should have been here before we got started.
Rhea, does this affect their discretionary?
Once those are individually sold, we will take the discretionary away.
Okay, so even if it's 2 years into it, then the final 3 years goes away and, okay.
And I said, hey, this might affect it.
She is aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
Can we just make sure that's in writing that she's aware?
Yeah, I'll...
An email or something?
I'll follow up with her about this tomorrow and be like, hey...
But just make sure it's in writing and not just a call.
Yeah, definitely.
I know how that goes.
I've had numerous people, I was never told that.
Really? This looks to be in accordance to what we discussed with the amendment, so. Are there any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, I look for a motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
These two lots are very narrow.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
24 and a half, 24 and a half, 24 and a half. Sure it works.
This is the favorite one.
This is the final agenda item. This is the final plat review for GSGS LLC or Mike Strain's development down in Palisades. The overview is pretty straightforward. We discussed this at the last Planning Commission meeting where essentially the utility setup was discussed and how it may affect future owners of the properties. That description is available in your report. And as per the Planning Commission's request, a note has been added on the plat that refers to the utility service agreement. Namely, it's the one on the bottom that says
a 10-foot water line easement for water main maintenance and repair by lot owners. He will also be putting together, we haven't received it yet, a letter or something that goes with the sale of the property when they get sold, that you sign and understand that this is a shared main service line through a manifold system. So
that'll be required to be submitted before the council reviews this.
Yeah, and he told me he was putting something together, so I will refresh him with him tomorrow so we have that. And that will go with each sale of the property when they sell each lot. He already has apparently some people that want to purchase these lots, and that's why he was pushing it. But we want that letter too. So.
So lot 1R and 10, are those going to be single family homes or what are those?
Those are those as well as lot 5R and lot 6.
Are all single family. Yep. So there's four single families and then several townhomes in essence.
And those have their original taps from the original plan before it got changed. No, back. Yeah.
It's so. just the inside lots that are
different.
Mucked up.
12 lots.
I'm not familiar with that. Does that challenge the, like, city services? Like, is that an additional strain on
No.
the main lines, or?
That's how it was. When this was first brought forward, the recommendation was to ensure that there was a separate water line to each individual residence, so that in the future, if they would be sold, it would be easy to identify who's the owner, so that when there's a leak on it, it's easy for that homeowner to say, well, if I want water, I gotta fix it. In kind of doing this, the developer kind of went through all these costs and said if there instead was one tap that would come out that would divide up into four individual water lines, that it was a savings of, I think it was like a $500 or $1,000 or something for every four of them. And so he pushed and said that's what he wanted to see happen because that was a cost savings. He went to the MUB. The MUB agreed because the idea at that point was that each individual block of four homes was going to be held by the same owner. So at that point, if there was a leak somewhere, it didn't matter because the building owner was going to be responsible for it. Now the problem is they want to sell each one individually. And so now there's an issue that if there's a leak on it, the city's not responsible because we're only responsible up to the curb stop. So there could be a leak over here, and this poor, you know, property owner is going to have to help pay to fix this one. And so the concern is that 30 years from now, when that happens, that they're going to say, no, we shouldn't be responsible for it. The city should do it.
For $500 savings?
At the time, yeah. And so, I mean, really, and it might have been $1,000. I don't remember. But no, but I mean, literally, that's why it was done. And the city's infrastructure and the road and everything else is fine. They probably will have lower water pressure if everyone has, because there's only a 1.5-inch line.
1.5-inch line.
To each one, which, again, that was done for a cost savings reason, which does not meet standard, but it does if it's under one ownership. But that's not how it is. So honestly, it doesn't make sense to go in and to cut into the road and to fix all this because the city would take that over. And then at that point, the road would start settling and we're going to have to fix a road. And usually the settling occurs after about 3 to 5 years, so the warranty will be over. And so it's better to leave it as it is. But the reality is that it is going to cause a problem at some point.
Is that something he's going to have to notify the homeowners of?
Which is why we're,
that's what we're trying to make
them do. That, so there's a note on the plat so that every time someone gets it, there's a note that would hopefully kind of refresh their mind. But then there's an agreement that he's supposed to be, not an agreement, I don't know,
a notice
or something that they would sign that would then be recorded on the property and that would continue as it gets sold for the next 100 years, that people are aware of it. I mean, it's not an ideal situation by any means.
The people that live right in front of the master curb stop will have a shorter service line. People that live on the ends of it could have a 100-foot service line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only real solution to it is turn off the street.
Yeah, which just...
Well, I imagine if they were an issue, they couldn't they put a pressure tank in somewhere in the home, each in spot? Mm-hmm.
Well, if we have a pressure issue.
I don't think it'll be that bad other than if everyone has their own irrigation system and everyone at the same, I mean, it could be, but we have other places in town that are like this. They're not unique in having 1.5-inch lines. Unfortunately, they're not unique, I guess is the best way to say it.
Who at the MUB is making these decisions? Like, how do we cut it off in the past next time?
I think this was the lesson that the MUB had been very, very strict on not allowing this. And the developer came in and said, and this was 2 years ago, I think, when this was done. The developer said, we're ready to, you know, get it done and everything else. And provided a compelling argument at the time, I guess, to the three MUB board members, and they said, if this means that the project will finally be done, because that's one of the biggest complaints we hear from people that live around there, that
they never get done.
It's never done. I mean, this area has been under development for more than a decade. And so for that reason, the MUB said, okay, fine, if it'll get done, we're willing to do this. And of course, it's not done, and
that's never a good reason to push things.
Yeah,
through. I don't care.
I think that'll be the last time that happens for quite a while.
Maybe this is a compelling case to not have an MUB board and just have to have the city water.
Well,
good luck with that. Well,
yeah,
can of
worms. And I, yeah.
But
I wouldn't disagree with that at times, but.
Do we have to, so we've got four single family lots.
Yeah.
Do we have to mention that? I'm going to make this as confusing as possible because that's what I like to do. But we have lots 1R, lot 10, 5R, and 6. And then we've got this note here saying, what I would hate is that if somebody came back and they're trying to recover monies because there's a repair on this, that they would come back and say, lot 10, 1R, 5R, and 6, you're responsible to share in the cost of this too because you're on the plat and the note points to you guys.
But it doesn't point to those.
The easement's only on.
Yeah.
So the easement's only on lots 2 through 4 and 9 through 7 right there in the middle section. That's what that's on. That's what the actual easement is. That's what that dotted line there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So.
See survey note number 5. Okay.
Okay. As long as you're comfortable that that's the case, I'm fine with it. No, we had quite a bit of discussion on this one at the last meeting, too.
Yeah.
We all know where this is come and gone from many times.
My favorite was planning and zoning meeting, but Mike thought that he had us on mute when he was ordering his bottle of wine on the Polycom. That was one of my favorite planning and zoning meetings.
Oh, I missed that one. Yeah.
That was before Courtney came on the board.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was the meeting that got Courtney to say that she wanted to be on the board.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bummer, but at this point, what do you do?
Is there any feeling like maybe this was ever intended to end up this way, or did he have a pretty good reason? It just was sales or something, or just whatever?
I could honestly say that, knowing Mike, as long as I've known Mike, he has one thing in mind today, and tomorrow's a whole nother thing. I don't think he planned to do this but
right.
And it ended up this way, and when it first came and we were the whole shared lines and stuff like that, we were all pretty much against it, including the board here. And they said, like, realistically, we want to follow the ordinance. And when it came down to it, like Daniel said, they said, we just want to get this done. So MUB said, go ahead and do this because you're going to own these buildings. You're going to use these as rental properties. And now we know that we're back here now we're going to sell them. We're not going to own them anymore.
And I think he found, I think he had more trouble getting the financing, whether that was through investors or bank financing, but I think it was more investors, and finding investors to...
For rentals as opposed to...
Yeah, okay. And so I think he's more comfortable in knowing that he can turn around and sell the townhomes individually. And I think it was harder for him to find partners to build a fourplex than what he had anticipated, I guess.
Of course, he's not getting the tax abatement because he's not building the commercial stuff.
Like the whole reason it was changed to a PUD, too. There's a lot of actions.
This kind of deal, I've seen this before here recently. Mm-hmm. We did this in Box Elder not too long ago. Because the only other option is to tear into the streets.
Oh, yeah, no, and I'm just...
Your streets to go to... Yeah, it's yeah, just, no, there no, is I, no great way out of this deal.
No. And even making that many changes to the water line itself, the likelihood that the water line is going to start leaking is pretty high, too.
Yeah.
Any other discussion?
Is there any danger that by, like, kind of letting this happen, that we find ourselves in the same spot precedent. Again?
Well, there's no precedent. I mean, there is, but that doesn't mean you have to follow it. And I honestly think that the discussion, you know, that we've had and that's in the notes and or in the minutes and stuff shows that no one's happy with the result of it. So, I mean, yeah, someone may come to you with the same plan, but I think for quite some time, people are able to look back and say, no, this is what happened before. We don't want to stray from the regulations because when we do,
we get trouble.
Yeah, we end up trying to polish.
That get nipped in the bud before it
this
ever got to
happen.
Us. Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay.
All right.
Look for a motion.
All right, I'll move to it.
I was going to say, who wants to make that?
I'm a short term now, too.
We've got a motion.
I'll second it.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Are you going to leave, Dave? It's over.
I feel like we moved that thing along pretty well.
You guys did fantastic. I'm telling you.
That was 6 for 5.
I mean, you did great.
That was 8 minutes an item. I mean, that's flying.
What do you think, guys? We just oust the existing council and take over?
That's the final agenda item.
I would want to see how you guys handle our current favorite resident.
What other meeting was she in last?
Oh, I don't
know. Whitewood.
She goes
Does
there,
too? Does she have property over there, too?
I don't know.
She just enjoys this.
This is my second council meeting tonight. I'm going, who else
Why?
Are you bothering?
She told me afterwards she was at Whitewood.
Give her a gold star for Citizen Abbey.
But it was awful nice of her to sit up there with me the whole time that we're up there. I don't know what to do.
I'd move to adjourn.
Yeah.
All right, we got a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're done.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
I don't think there's. Yep, we're gonna have a meeting in August unless we schedule a special. So.
Oh.
That's.
There's no meeting in August.
Well, we typically don't.
Do we still get
because
paid?
The first Tuesday. Yep. Yeah.
Twice as much again.
Well, yeah, we typically meet the first after the first council meeting of the month. That first Tuesday after
so
council.
So you want to do a conference call from Denali? I won't be here.
But I don't. Do you think you'll have something?
No, I don't see anything real.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
Well,
look at those eyes.
There is a likelihood that we might. I mean, I don't want to tell you guys we won't. The Lutheran Church property, I think, that might have a TIF as well as a zoning change and all sorts of things like that, and that might come about before September. But maybe not. We'll see. That way we can start doing the improvements on Otter Road.
We can make it a meeting.
Shannon misses you.
Make it worth it.
Did we have any follow-up on that? We did some annexations. We talked about some annexations a while ago.
He's good.